So we've come to the end. Last few minutes of this Tekufa. 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av. We can already taste the food. We're thinking about our vacations. Some of us may even have a bag packed. But I want to try and take something with us. Take something with us from this Tekufa that we should hold on to, that we can say that our lives will be different after these 3 weeks. Let's try and understand what exactly the day meant. What did we lose? And what's expected of us moving forward? It says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Chinam, baseless hatred. It says that the root of the day of mourning on Tisha B'Av is from the Chet HaMeraglim. There was a Bechia Shel Chinam. Chinam, also no reason. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're crying for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. What is Chinam? Why is it Chinam? I look at the situation, I see a lot of reasons why these things happen. Sinas Chinam Bechlam doesn't make sense. I mean, a person laying in his bed, he wakes up in the morning, opens up his eyes, and he says, you know what? I hate my neighbor. I can't stand him. He just bothers me. That's Sinas Chinam? That's a Mishugah. The guy's not Me'achuz. That's not Sinas Chinam. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed because of crazy people. And B'nai Yisrael that came out of Mitzrayim, they were crying. B'nai Yisrael was a broken nation. They were slaves. They were still kashur. They were still connected to their Avodah Zorah. They wanted to replace Moshe Rabbeinu and make an idol in place of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were a broken nation. And think about the millions of Jews that were left behind in Mitzrayim. If 2 or 3 million Jews came out, there must have been at least 10 million Jews in Mitzrayim. That means that every Jew that came out, he lost a family member. He lost a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, maybe even a sibling or a parent that was left behind. It was like a Holocaust. These were Holocaust survivors that left Mitzrayim. Now you're going to come and tell them, yeah, I'm going to take you to this land, this land of milk and honey, but it's going to be a challenge. There's some big people over there. There's some fortified cities. There's funerals day and night. They had a reason to cry. They were scared. So what is chinam? Why chinam? For no reason? There was a Jew who was in a camp called Gozen. Gozen is not a camp that many people have heard of, that many people know about, but it was the same, the torture, the sickness, the mamish terrible, Gehenna on earth. And one day a Nazi came in and he said, I need some volunteers to go to a rest home. Beit Havra'ah. A real rehabilitation center. I need some volunteers. So his eyes lit up. Rehabilitation center? A rest home? Get rid of all this work that I'm doing? For sure. And he volunteered with 1,100 Jews that day. Now, they didn't realize that the Beit Havra'ah was called Auschwitz. They were very tamim. They were Hungarian Jews. They didn't know as much what the Germans were doing in the war as much as the Polish Jews did. So they were very tamim, and this guy got on the train, and he had so much courage to talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, taking him out of the work camp to go to a Beit Havra'ah, to a rest home. He was almost excited to be on this train. And he got to Auschwitz, and he realized that not everybody is going to the Beit Havra'ah. There's a selection going on. And some people are going to the left, some people are going to the right. So he looked to the left and he saw a bunch of women, and children, sick people, old people. He said, this must be the people that are going to the Beit Havra'ah, the rest home. He said, I want to go to the left. And he looked at the right, he saw the big men, the people that are going to work. He said, I'm going to the left no matter what. And so his clothes were torn. He had a big bruise on his leg and the other leg was swollen. And he went up to the selection and he was limping. And he was thinking to himself, there's no way they're going to take me to work. I mean, I can barely walk. And they looked at him, and they sent him to the right. He was broken. He was broken. He started crying. He was so angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you doing this to me? Enough already. Why? Why couldn't I just go to the rest home with all these other people? He was mamish broken. And he went into the barracks where he was staying. After getting the cleaned up and clothed, whatever, he went into the barracks. And in the barracks, there's people that have obviously been there for a while. And there's new people that come in. Now the old people that have been there a while, they ask a lot of questions. They want to know where you're from. Did you know this person? Is he still alive? What's going on with the war? What's going on in the world, Bethlehem? So this person started telling his story. He said, you know, I was in this camp, Gozen, and they asked me to volunteer to go to a rest home. So I volunteered, so I came here, and I don't know why they sent me to work. Maybe there's a project, maybe they need extra help, but eventually they're going to send me to the rest home, and I don't know, I'm very upset that I didn't go there right away. And they looked at him, and they said, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? He said, what do you mean? He said, you think the Nazis are building rest homes so the Jews can have vacations? So I saw with my own eyes. They took the women and the children. They brought them to the left. They took them away. They were obviously going someplace. They were going to the rest home. He said, you know where the rest home is? You see the three chimneys out in the back with the black smoke coming out with the smell of burning flesh? That's the rest home. That's where the women and children are. It's called Gan Eden. Don't you understand? You were saved. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved you. Why are you so broken? Stop crying for nothing. Crying for nothing. He had plenty of reasons to cry. That's Bechinam. That's a Chinam. That's for no reason. There's plenty of reasons. There's plenty of reasons. You might even be right. There's plenty of reasons to cry, but there are no reasons. It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu behind those reasons. He's the ones that are orchestrating. He's the ones that's pulling the strings. That's Bechinam. Now, what happened in the Beis HaMikdash? Right, what was going on there? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, my kesher, that's what they say here, my kesher. Why the Beis HaMikdash? Why have all Klal Yisrael suffer because of these two people that can't get along, they have bad midot, punish them? So what went on in the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was obviously the place of the Avodah, and there were karbanos. That's what the Avodah was. It was karbanos. And there were two types of karbanos for averes. There was one carbon that averes done the shogeg, and averes done the mazid. But rov karbanos, a majority of the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash were done for averes done the shogeg. And it really doesn't make sense. I mean, why would you require someone who did an aver of the shogeg, unintentional, why would you require him to bring a carbon? He feels bad. He didn't want to do the avera. He doesn't want to do it again. He hopes it'll never happen. Why does he need to bring a carbon? He's ready to do tshuva. He's ready to accept achrayus for what he did. It's enough. It's like over the top. Mispeak. What does he have to bring a carbon for? But a person who did an aver of the mazid, that's a different story. He's not so ready to do tshuva. He thinks he was right. He thinks he has a good reason why he did the aver. You ask a person why he hurt his friend the mazid intentionally, he'll tell you because he deserved it. Of course, he had it coming to him. He'd give you a whole bunch of reasons. Amazing. It's hard to get him to do tshuva. He doesn't take a chrayus for what he did. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? The Kadosh Baruch Hu he turns things around so that he brings an avera that was done b'shogeg into a person's hands, right? He turns the light on Shabbos. Now he has to come to the Beit HaMikdash. He has to bring a chatas for the avera he did b'shogeg. And he comes into the Beit HaMikdash, and he's so inspired by the Kedusha. That's another atmosphere. He's totally blown away. He's elevated. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals to him, he asks himself, what did this happen for? How did I get to do this, to turn lights on in Shabbos? How did this happen? And a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals to him, he's elevated in a way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, that you're really bringing a carbon for this mazid. You need a Beis HaMikdash for that. You need a Beis HaMikdash to tell you what the mazid is. But that's what's going on over here. A Kadosh Baruch Hu made it so that a person brings this korban for a shogeg, and it's really for something that was done the mazid. And that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu talking to this person. It's a special language of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he talks to people in this way. That there are no accidents. Everything is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You think you're coming here for something that just so to happen, you happen to turn the light on. No, you're coming here for a reason. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are no mistakes. That was the Beis HaMikdash. That's what a person was able to feel. He was able to see. And it's a language that, it's a special language that Hashem has. But some of the tzaddikim also had it. They were also in tune. There's a story about Rav Zalman Meltzer Zatzal. He came home one day and all the milk had spilled. They used to deliver milk in these big jugs and all the milk had spilled. Now he knew. Nothing happens by accident here. If there was some type of mess up, then there's a reason for it. And he called his family and he said, look, what's going on? Did anyone pay the milkman? He said, oh, I forgot. No. That's what goes on. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to us sometimes and things that we think that just happened, but it's Kadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. And that was the Beis HaMikdash. So a person was able to see it and feel it and know there were no mistakes. Now it says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, right? What happened over there? Well, it says that Titus, after he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, a basko came out and it said, "Kemach tahun tachanta," meaning Titus, you didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's like flour that's already been ground. That's what you were grinding up. It was like it's already been done. You weren't the one to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now there was a building, there were stones, there was walls, but the panimis, the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash, that was destroyed a while ago. Who destroyed it? What happened? So inside the Beis HaMikdash, what are we inside the Seuda of Kamsa Bar Kamsa? What happened? Bar Kamsa's sitting there and he's eating the meal of Hahu Gavra, the Baal Seuda. And he's eating and enjoying himself. And all of a sudden, the Baal Seuda sees him sitting there and says, "What's going on here? My arch enemy is sitting in my Seuda." And he goes over and he wants to throw him out. Bar Kamsa says, I'll pay for my meal. I'll pay for half the meal. I'll pay for the entire meal. Just don't embarrass me." The Baal Seuda says, "Get out. I want you out now." Bar Kamsa says, "Wait a second. We're in Yerushalayim. There's no mistakes in Yerushalayim. Obviously, there's a reason here. Kodesh Baruch Hu talks to people. We have a Beis HaMikdash just a few hundred meters away. There's obviously a reason here. Let's just finish the Seuda. We'll meet afterwards. We'll sit down. We'll talk it out. We'll work it out." But he says, "I don't want to hear about Yerushalayim. I don't want to hear about the Beis HaMikdash. Get out now." So Bar Kamsa also wasn't Me'achuz. He also wasn't the Seder. He should have also realized that there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was insulted. David HaMelech was insulted. When Shimon ben Gera came out, he was stoning him. He cursed him. And everybody wanted to kill him. And David HaMelech said, "What are you getting all worked up for? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem told him to curse me. It's not him." And the also Rav Chaim says, he used to say that a person who's insulted and he doesn't answer back, what happens? He has a koach of bracha. His brachas are miskayim. Bar Kamsa should have closed his mouth. He should have realized he's going to have a big skus, but he didn't. And what about the Chokmah Yerushalayim? We can't judge them, not in that generation. But not one person stood up and said, "Listen, guys, it's Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. There's no mistakes. Obviously, Hashem has something going on here. Let's just work it out. Just let it go." Nothing. And this was the Chorban. This was the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't on the walls. It wasn't on the stones. It wasn't on the building. It was on the neshama, the pnimius of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the reasons. We all have plenty of reasons. We all have our pekel. We all have our misnefesh. With friends, with families, with neighbors. We need parnasa. We need sedukim. We need everything. But there's reasons why. There's reasons why. Mr. Shem, one day we'll have a Beis HaMikdash. We'll be able to go in. And we'll be able to see, we'll be elevated, we'll be able to know why we don't have children, why we don't have Shidduchim, and why Parnas is difficult. And we'll know the reasons why. We'll be able to elevate ourselves and to work on ourselves. But right now, we need to know that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu behind all these things, even though we have reasons. There are good reasons. We may even be right that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu that's behind these reasons. So we want to build a Beis HaMikdash. We want to build a Beis HaMikdash. It says if we don't build a Beis HaMikdash, see the Beis HaMikdash built in our day, it's ki'ilu like we destroyed it. So what can we do? How do we build a Beis HaMikdash today? It's not just a nice saying. We want to build. Let's go. Let's build a Beis HaMikdash. Rav Asher Freund was a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim. He started an organization called Yad Ezra. He was nitzer about 25 years ago. One time, a person stole a lot of money from him. Hundreds of thousands of shekels. And he was very upset. And he was upset at this person. And he just couldn't bear to be upset at another Jew. It really bothered him. It was tearing him apart. He didn't know what to do. He called up one of his gabbai and he said, "Take me to the forest." And he took him to the forest. He dropped him off. He said, "Don't wait here. Go home. Come back in an hour." So he came back in an hour, picked him up. And then they were driving for about a minute. Rav Asher said, "Take me back. I want to go back." So he came back, dropped him off. He said, "Don't wait here. Go back. Come back in an hour." This time when he came back, he saw Rav Asher, he was pointing up and he was talking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was saying, "Ze'ata," over and over again. "Ze'ata, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I know it's you. You didn't want me to have the money. It's not this guy. I'm not upset at him. Ze'ata, ze'ata, ze'ata." That's a Beis HaMikdash. That's building a Beis HaMikdash, seeing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's chaval, we have to go 2 hours into a forest when we had a Beis HaMikdash. But that's what we need to do. That's building the Beis HaMikdash. There was a rav in a particular kiruv organization, and he was taking a group to Poland, to the camps, one of these trips to see the camps in Poland. And he decided that since he was leading the group, he had a relative, an old aunt that was in the camps, and she was a survivor, and he thought that maybe I'll get some story from her, and I'll be able to give the people that were with him, give some more chizuk. It'll be like something, you know, that you heard from someone who was really there. So he went to her home, and he sat with her for about 2 hours, and she told him about the ghetto. Her father died in the ghetto. This is a girl that at the time, her and her sister, we're talking about a 12-year-old girl, a 14-year-old girl. She said her father died in the ghetto, and then they had to take a train 3 days from Lodz to Auschwitz for 3 days. She said she stood on one leg the whole train ride for 3 days, no drinking, no food. She said because if she put her other leg down, she'd be standing on somebody who was nifter, and she couldn't do it. So she went for 3 days to Auschwitz. She eventually came to Bergen-Belsen. She was liberated, came to Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted to get something from her. He was trying to kind of pull something out. So he said to her, he said, did you ever feel, like maybe when you're on the train for 3 days, no food, no drink, or sometime in the camp, did you ever feel that, did you ask like, Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing this? And she looked at him, her eyes opened up big, like she was almost insulted. She said, questions on a Kodesh Baruch Hu? To ask a question on Hashem? No, that never entered our minds. We never did that. So he thought, okay, Yudin Tzadikim, you know, Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim, you know, he kept pushing and pushing. He said, there must have been something. When it got really difficult, was there something that you just felt like, Hashem, why are you doing this? She looked at me and she said, we never had questions on Hashem. If you grew up in the house that I grew up in, we were taught that everything is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we were never to ask questions on Hashem. She said, we had to be Mechal Shabbos in the camp. We had to go to the work, to work in the factory. And we had to be Mechal Shabbos. We were forced to. But when we came home, there was a light that was left on, and nobody wanted us to turn the light off. And we knew that it was going to be a big punishment for leaving a light on. But no one wanted to shut the light out. And sure enough, a guard came in with a stick. He said, what's this light? Nobody answered. Everybody was afraid to turn it off. Nobody wanted to start up with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they beat these girls. They beat these girls till the stick broke. But when they left, she said there was such a simcha. A simcha that we were able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu with such mysterious nefesh that we felt such a kirva to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that we never felt a simcha like that. He said, did that ever help you in your life, this whole outlook, this whole way of thinking? Did it help you throughout life? She said, of course. I never got upset. I never had a fight with anyone. I was always happy. I knew everything was from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a Beis HaMikdash. This is building a Beis HaMikdash. We don't need a Beis HaMikdash to offer karbanos. We're yotzei every mincha shachris. We can be yotzei karbanos with in the siddur. We don't need a Beis HaMikdash to be talking, to be learning, to offering karbanos. What we need a Beis HaMikdash for is to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To look past the reasons. To know that everything in our life is happening and there's reasons and I'm upset. Why is this going on? Why is that going on? And we need a Beis HaMikdash to have that clarity that it's all the Kadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. It says if we want a real nechama. A real nechama for Tisha B'Av. What's the lashon of nechama? It says there's a pasuk in the end of Bereishis, right before Parshas Noah. It says, Vayinachem Hashem ki esa adam ba'aretz. Hashem was upset that he put man on earth. So what is this lashon? Vayinachem. Rashi says over there, Vayinachem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. He decided that he's not going to deal with the world and with midas harachamim. He's going to deal with the world with midas hadin. He changed his mind. Rashi goes on to say that any time there's a lashon of nechama, it means a change of mind, a different thought, a change of thinking. That's the nechama that we need to do. We need to change our thoughts. We need to have a real nechama. We need to change the way we think. It's not him. It's not her. It's not them. It's not it. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wants us to grow. He wants us to understand. He wants us to be different and to work on ourselves, reach our potential. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to change the way we're thinking. You know, it says that the Beis HaMikdash, if we had a Beis HaMikdash, we wouldn't have any of this tzar. We've heard it all before, that if we had to pay some Mikdash, all the pain, all the tzar, we wouldn't have it. It's not that we wouldn't have it. We would have it, but it wouldn't be tzar. It would be from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Wouldn't be everything disappeared. It would still be the same challenges. It would still be life, but it would be with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to have a Beis Hamikdash, to be living with Hashem. My family, sometimes they say, they talk about Mashiach. Everyone talks about Mashiach. Well, Mashiach, maybe I ran war. Maybe Mashiach is going to come now. Maybe now, maybe now, maybe now. So what do you want Mashiach for so bad? What do you want? You want the Jewish people, they're going to be the spit, they're going to be the top of the world, all the goyim are going to come, they're going to bow down to us, we're going to have goyim hanging from our tzitzis, we're going to have all the money, and everything's going to be, it's a hunky-dory life, that's what you want? That's Mashiach? I said, you know what Mashiach is? Mashiach is all Hashem. That's what Mashiach is. When Mashiach comes, we're not going to care about anything else. We're going to be talking, we're going to be thinking, we're going to be living with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We'll be so impressed, the revelation of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the world, nothing else is going to make a difference, nothing else is going to have any meaning in our life. That's what Mashiach is. That's what we're waiting for. I said, you want Mashiach? Start now! Start now, start talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Start seeing a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Start feeling Him, start thinking about Him, start talking about Him. That's a Beis Hamikdash, that's a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that what He wants from us. Mitzvah, we should have the koach. We should be able to dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu. B'tein li'bein alav d'cha be'emes. Be'emes. What's the emes over here? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Should give us the strength, the koach, the ability to see with clarity of Him in our life. And we should only have simcha. We shouldn't be bothered, even though we have many sibot. There's sibot. There's reasons, but we should see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should have simcha. We should see the gula, shlema. Because